up, man? How are you? You ready for this?
Hey, I'm great. It's always good to talk a little football on our last few free Sundays here.
Oh, my God. I think certainly the city of Cleveland is ready. Browns Nation is ready. And let me just ask you, like, early on in camp, if you're going to be out there, I'm sure you are. Can you glean anything, Jake, from watching training camp practices? And, I mean, is there a lot of value from somebody like you who likes to break down film and likes to see tendencies and things like that? Is it mainly just figuring out what the roster looks like and maybe a player here that they might favor as far as position groups go? Like, what can you get from attending training camp practices?
Yeah, good question. I don't think you're going to get anything schematically, especially where we stand. Like, we don't necessarily, as a media, we don't get to sit up very high.
Sure.
So it's always kind of tough to feel out what they're doing schematically. You can see some little things where they're, you know, maybe what type of run game they're working on, things like that. But, you know, really what you're looking for is, like you said, sort of the one-on-one battles, who seems to be impressing, sort of focusing in on little parts, maybe a left tackle versus a DN, something like that. But for the biggest thing you're going to take away is, where is everybody lining up? How often are guys working with the first team? And then sort of you can get a really good feel for who's going to be special teams players too. So the best stuff you can get from practices is, you know, even when I was coaching, was sort of like where guys are going to be playing, how they're going to be deploying them, and what groupings are they going to be using those guys. So it's who's where, why they're there, and how often they're there kind of thing.
Is there a position group you're particularly concerned about right now?
Oh, God, you threw the big one at me quick. I would say, man, this strong safety has to work itself. That's not the most vital role to a defense, but I do think that with how many defensive backs they play back there, they're going to probably be in a 4-2-5 more often than not. So they'll occasionally be using three safeties. I think they need to figure out who the strong safety is going to be. And then I just need to make sure that the tackles play well. You know, they're going to be really relying on those guys to push the football downfield. So how those tackles are performing in camp, because, you know, when they're out on the field, Chris Hubbard and Greg Robinson won't be facing the level of talent of Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon every week. They'll get some guys who compare, but not many that compare to that level of skill. So it'll be something to really focus on, is how well those two tackles, who need to prove more this year, are handling those guys, you know, in practice. So you don't, you know, in shirts and shorts, which they'll be in for the first few days, won't necessarily have a great feel. But as time sort of wears on, what does the offensive line look like? How is Baker doing with this group? Does it feel like he's always panicking and being forced out of the pocket? Or do you see him being comfortable and given time to throw, kind of thing?
We're talking to Jake Burns, Cleveland.com. There's a level of consternation sort of across the fan base and probably rightfully so, about the offensive line, specifically the right guard spot. Excuse me, but I don't think anybody's confident in the tackles either. What about James Campen? I mean, that's an addition. People don't often talk about offensive line coaches, but this is one of the more successful guys over the last decade or so as far as coaching up offensive line. I think he can make a big difference, Jake. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I've tried to be as articulate about this as I can, like, there's nothing against Bob Wiley. That guy's a football lifer, fantastic coach. You know, he's bounced around to a lot of different places. I think he's a good coach, but, like, James Campen has a really sound track record at this time in Green Bay of taking sort of middle-tier offensive linemen, which the best example is J.C. Treader, who's now here in Cleveland the past few years, is developing those middle to late-round prospects into really productive football players. They did that with David Bakhtiari and, you know, Green Bay, their left tackle. I think you're going to see more of that here in terms of guys becoming more fundamentally sound, how they place their hands. He's a big hand-fighting, emphasizing guy, how you place your hands, how you deliver a punch. I feel confident, like, as much as there's a little bit of uncertainty about how the group performed, even though they did well in the second half of the year,
right,
how much of it was scheme-based, how much of it was Baker being comfortable escaping, there'll be some of that again this year, but I do feel a level of confidence that even though they're replacing a Pro Bowl right guard, in my opinion, Zeiler should have been a Pro Bowler, a Pro Bowl right guard, and then you're sort of relying on these two tackles to kind of take another step in the game, James Campen's a big reason why I'm a believer in that. And I do really, enjoy how much Freddie likes to help those tackles out, too. That should give everybody some confidence.
Yeah, explain that a little bit. I mean, I think you're probably talking about keeping tight ends tight and needing, you know, a blocking element to that position. How do you see David Njoku fitting into the offense? I think probably Seth the Valve plays into all of this. What do you see from the tight end position? Because it's strange. We know Freddie Kitchens has plans for his tight ends. I think probably there's, you know, some of the talk between what Freddie and what Todd Monken bring to the equation. I think the tight end position is sort of caught in the crosshairs there.
It could be a little bit. I know that Todd Monken really liked using O.J. Howard there in Tampa Bay. They'll be an 11 personnel. They should be an 11 personnel often, which is three wide receivers, which is probably going to be more often than not Jarvis and Odell, and then a rotation of Rashard Higgins and Callaway sort of all filling in together, three wide receivers on the field at the time, one back and one tight end. So really, I think that's what they'll be at most. But Freddie was one of the heavier users of tight ends in the last half of the year last year. He led the league in 13 personnel, which is three tight ends on the field at one time.
Right.
So I think the Browns will continue to do some of that stuff because it gives them confidence in protecting Baker. They know they can send. When you have guys like Odell and guys like Callaway and Jarvis that can get open on just two-man routes, you feel comfortable keeping extra blockers in. So I think they'll do that stuff still, but have enough talent at the wide receiver position or have enough talent with David Njoku that you can sneak a guy out and maybe run only two-man routes and still get guys open, which is a really nice situation because we're talking about helping those tackles. You want to keep a tight end in. You know, if you put a tight end in the three-point stance on the line of scrimmage, all that does is change the direction of the defensive end. He has to align wider, and he has to evade that tight end off the line. That second right there where he has to evade the tight end means that it's going to be 1 second slower that the guy can get after the quarterback. It's going to change his course to the quarterback. All it does is help the tackle, helps the ball get out of Baker Mayfield's hands a little quicker. They'll use a chip, which is basically the tight end delivers a hit, just like a forearm chip is what they call it, and then goes out on his pass route. It's obviously going to do the same thing, slow that in, rushing down. And then they'll keep backs in, too, and anytime a guard is uncovered, meaning if a guard is next to a tackle, there's not a defensive lineman that's going to threaten his gap, he'll at the last second peel out late and help with that defensive end as well. They'll do different things. They'll get the ball out of Mayfield's hands quick. But there will be some element, Jake, of Mayfield being able to use what he is really comfortable with, which is extending plays with his feet only to throw the ball downfield, getting out of the pocket, doing what he does best, which is throw the football on the run with deadly accuracy.
Jake Burns joins me. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake_Burns18. Does a phenomenal job for Cleveland.com, Browns Film Breakdown, and the Orange Brown Report breaking down film. And so let me ask you this, because I don't know, I'm pretty confident in Greg Robinson. Do you think, can he be the long-term answer at the tackle spot? Do you think, did you see enough last year, and do you think the tools are all there that he can be your guy?
I think people have been saying the tools are there for Greg for a long time. I mean,
correct.
He obviously drafted second in the draft when he came out, so it's like he moves well. He's an extremely big guy, overwhelmingly physically big guy, but he's just too passive sometimes, and those passive traits showed up some in the last half of last year. And he did have 10 penalties and I think he had, from week 9 on, he started, so half the year, 8 games. So he still had a high number of penalties. I'm not certain. I think the Browns and Greg Robinson did them both sides did themselves favors. Greg played okay. He played better than, obviously, Desmond Harrison before him. So he stabilized that position. But is that good enough long-term? The Browns said, we need to see you play a little bit better and prove it. Greg Robinson says, that's fine. I'll take 1 year deal, $9 million, whatever it was, $8 million. I'll take that. And then if I have a really good year this year, he's going to get a payday. So the Browns are in the right position of not entrusting something they don't know that they're 100% confident in yet. And then Greg Robinson did the right thing in saying, I'll wait and maybe get a bigger payday later. So I think both sides understand that he has to be better. He worked with the O-line performance team with Charles Bentley leading in the last year. And I think he did improve. I think there were some things he was doing better with, but he has to get better at delivering the punch with his hands at the top of his drop and then sort of staying on balance. I'm not sure that he is great with tendencies of what opposing defensive ends love to do. Mm. If he could improve some of those predictability things, I think he could be a little bit better. But his hands are full. I mean, this division is really good at defensive end, this outside linebacker and defensive end role, and the Browns play a lot of really good defensive ends this year, so he's going to need to be good, especially on that left side. Where they need him to sort of anchor that left tackle role. So I don't know. I don't have a great answer. There were some things that were good on film last year, but there were still some of those really concerning situations too, and Mayfield helped him out of some of those things. So it could go either way. I've had this conversation with a lot of people regarding the offensive line. I can't definitively say whether I'm concerned or whether I'm excited about them. I just sort of think they're middle of the road right now. If they get the right schematic situation, the right play from the quarterback, they're going to probably be an upper half of the league offensive line. If not, they're going to look really – they're going to struggle, as will Baker Mayfield behind them, and it'll just be a frustrating set of Sundays. So it's just like that group is going to drive the offense because the skill players around them are as good as anyone in the league. They're top three in the league, I think. So the offensive line has to do their part. If they do, it'll be a really tough offense to stop.
Jake Burns joins me. A couple narratives as far as the offense goes that's you know sort of pervading our talk. The fact that there's only one football and that somebody's going to be the odd man out, like I can understand having the conversation because there are so many weapons. Now, when you take it to the next level and say, well, if Odell only has five targets in a game, he's going to be pissed about it. Like nobody knows that. That's just you know causing crap. And stirring up trouble. But can you see there being kind of an odd man out when you consider all of the weapons that they have offensively? Can you see somebody just being sort of like, you know, not necessarily an afterthought, but probably not delivering the fantasy numbers, for instance, that maybe a lot of people expect?
Yeah, I'm interested in it because, Jake, I think that Mayfield is not a forced target guy. He is going to throw to whoever is open within a play. I don't know how to predict it because I need to see how Todd and how Freddie are sort of gearing it. Because every time the ball is snapped, the quarterback has a first read, second read. Sometimes they'll get to a third read, but it's usually 1-2. So it's like how often are they calling design plays that target a specific receiver? You would think that most of those targets would involve Odell because, duh, but you don't know. So I just think he's going to throw to whoever's open. And this, you know, the conversation that if Odell only gets five targets, well, if they lose, everybody's going to be frustrated.
Sure.
If they're winning, it doesn't matter to those guys. And it doesn't matter because they're paid. Jarvis and Odell are paid. Like, those guys who get frustrated that they're not getting targets, like a second or third-year wide receiver who's trying to make his name in the league to get that second contract, those guys are getting paid, so they want to win. If they're mad, it's not because I got five targets. It's because I only got five targets, we lost, and I know I can do more if I get the ball. So it's just... You know, and everybody wants to jump on people when they're complaining about targets with a team. This guys just want to win, man. So, like, they want the ball in their hands. They can't always control getting the ball thrown in their direction, how accurately the ball is thrown in their direction, or how often it's thrown in their direction. So it's like I get that frustration from their side. But if they're winning, or they're winning enough games, or the offense is scoring enough points, maybe the defense isn't holding their end of the bargain, whatever, the offense is doing what they're supposed to do, and that means – Jarvis gets four targets for 28 yards. Like, that won't matter. I can guarantee to you it won't matter to them as long as they're scoring points because that's just what they want to do. They don't care. Those guys like seeing other people happy. As long as the team is scoring points, they won't care. So that stuff does not concern me. And as far as like predicting who's going to get the rock, I would imagine they're going to target. I mean, I don't know, Jake. There's very few teams across the league that run six deep in terms of skill position players, and then there'll be seven deep in terms of skill position players when Kareem Hunt's back, that can do unlimited things with the football in their hands. So it's like it's an embarrassing enrichment of talent that is going on here. And you could even include Demetrius Harris in that group because he's an imposing player too, the backup tight end. It's just like I don't think that it's rare that a team says, I can put any of our players in these positions and we feel good about them finding a way to make something happen with the football in their hands. So – I just think that they're going to run plays that it doesn't matter who's lined up where. They feel confident in the target, whoever that target is, whether it's Odell Beckham or whether it's Rashard Higgins, that player is going to come up with getting open and catching the football or making somebody miss and making a big play happen when they get the football in their hands.
Last one, Jay. Give me a guy 2-3 weeks into camp we'll be talking about that we're not talking about right now.
That's a good question. I think the guy I really like, I've talked about him for a while, who was an undrafted free agent, is Willie Harvey. I think he's a really sound linebacker out of Iowa State who I think is going to creep into more special teams reps, creep in and maybe even creep into the linebacker rotation at some point too. I just feel like he is somebody that is built for the NFL. He's just a really sound fundamental football player. And of all the undrafted free agents, I think that he is somebody that has a genuine shot of sticking on the roster. So linebacker Willie Harvey.
Willie Harvey, noted. He is Jake Burns. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake_Burns18. Does a great job for Cleveland.com, Browns film breakdown as well. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it, bud.
I appreciate it. Yep.
All right, there he is, Jake Burns. And, of course, all of our guests join us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are, do the math, what, 5 days? 4 days? We're very close to training camp. It's Thursday. They'll report on Wednesday. They'll be on the field on Thursday, and we'll be there here at 92.3 The Fan.